This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
So, Bart, tell me about the PropTech ecosystem specifically. I know your family comes from real estate. How did you decide to found Agora, and what are the problems you're addressing?
Sure. So, you know, I always knew I wanted to be to do my own thing, to do a startup. My first thing, you know, I said, okay, let's try to find, search for challenges, pain points, start to think about ideas. I looked at, you know, different kind of spaces. I said, okay, in real estate, I have the most knowledge, connections, expertise. I also saw that the real estate and prop tech and fintech are going through a tremendous, you know, growth in the past couple of years. And this growth should be even more exponential in the next few years. So I thought this is a great space to really be in. And so we started to look for problems there. And as you know, like almost every other startup that I know of, we've started with one thing, and then after, you know, going left and right and up and down, we came to the product that we are currently developing.
Before we talk about the actual product, there are, by my count, over 100 prop tech startups in Israel, and even more fintech startups. Why? Right. Why is PropTech booming in Israel specifically, and fintech? What is it about the Israeli tech ecosystem that is spawning so much innovation in fintech and PropTech?
I think, you know, being like Israelis compared to other maybe places, Europe, which I've also lived a couple of months in the US, in Israel, real estate is really a big thing. And you know, every people there, you ask him what is dream, every person, and he will say to you, I want to own a house. I want to invest in real estate, either in Israel or the US. Like the real estate specifically is really big thing here. Maybe it's also related to the fact that, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, we were all, there wasn't Israel. People were spreading around different countries with no real root. And so I think this is something that is really rooted in our DNA, and this real estate thing. And I think that people now in the tech space also identify it and also see that, you know, the real estate is an industry that is lacking of innovation. And they understand that there are going to be these big opportunities of the future. You can see companies like Compass from Uri Alon. I think it was one of the first ones that really created a big prop tech company, Israeli one, and WeWork, Adam Neumann. So I think this is really something from in our DNA. I can also share with you, this year in 2020, we've participated in an accelerator called the Prop Tech Zone, which is the first accelerator for Israeli prop tech startup. And as you see, it just started 2020. So you can definitely see this movement, and it's really, you know, nice to see it.
Yeah, and I'm seeing 2021 predictions, right? As we're now in 2021, there are going to be more and more prop tech focused accelerators, and it's great to hear there's an Israeli specific prop tech focused accelerator. I mean, just repeat that, right? There is an Israeli specific prop tech accelerator. that just shows you. That says something itself, the fact that exists.
Definitely.
Right? About what's going to come out to. People are realizing there's an opportunity. I think it's really intriguing, too, as you talk about the history of Israel and the people and sort of the newness of the country. You're right. Having a home signifies rooting down somewhere, belonging somewhere. And that's the great promise of prop tech and startups in the industry. You are dealing with a foundational need for human beings, which is where you live. Where you're rooted, it defines your identity and your culture. And so it makes sense that as a society, people aspire to have their own place that they can say is theirs and root down on, and also to build innovation around that. To realize, in most cases, real estate might be the majority of your net worth as an individual, person.
That's true.
Or as an early, you know, in residential investor. So it makes sense to optimize that. So tell me about Agora specifically now. How did you realize the problem? And why don't you articulate for everyone what Agora does very quickly and the problem you're solving and how you got there?
Sure. So as I previously mentioned, we've started from another completely different direction. And our initial idea was to create a blockchain-based marketplace for tokenized assets. So using blockchain technology in order to tokenize real estate properties and allow individual retail investors, kind of like in a crowdfunding way, to invest in these offerings, but also be able to enjoy liquidity selling their shares in kind of like our marketplace. This was the initial idea. After a while, we saw that there are a number of problems, both regulation and operation and tax and actually interest, a conflict of interest between different parties that are involved. And only after doing some sort of a small pilot with some sort of an MVP that we've developed, we took it to a number of real estate investment firms and sponsors and funds we were in touch with. And suddenly we saw that they were all, you know, they didn't really care about the market, the marketplace or the blockchain, but they were very, very interested in the software that we've built. And then they, you know, and then we started to ask them, okay, so how do you currently manage your investors, your investment, your back office, you know? And they just started to show us numbers of Excel spreadsheets, templates in Words, and we realized that their entire back office, investor relation, and marketing departments are working using Excel spreadsheet, a lot of manual email communication back and forward, very inefficient, very, you know, very far from what we are maybe used to from places like the stock market, as an example, where you have multiple platforms and, you know, tools. And this is how we really got to develop Agora. And essentially, Agora is an investment management and back office automation software for the real estate industry. And it's a SaaS model, B2B, very different than the marketplace where we've originally started. And we are selling the software to the real estate investment managers or funds or sponsors. And they are using the software itself is composed of two main parts, the investor portal for the LPs and then the company dashboard for the company. And this is really a tool for both the investors to access and manage their real estate portfolio and the tool for the companies to really automate their workflows, have a much more data-driven decision-making abilities and so on.
Now, well, what I appreciate about you is you're someone who's always had a lot of vision in everything you've done. What does the world look like? One of my favorite questions that I ask an entrepreneur is, what does the world look like if you succeed? Compared to where it is today, if you achieve your vision, what does the world look like?
I think it's not a matter of if, it's when we succeed.
But I love that. Not if, but when.
I imagine the world look like where private real estate investments are as easy, streamlined, with ability to see the data and sell and have liquidity and, all the processes that we have in the public markets today in the world of the private equity for the real estate space.
And essentially providing these tools will allow more dollars to flow to the asset class of real estate, will remove the information asymmetry that exists, create more transparency. Because right now, PropTech, frustratingly, is an industry that thrives on information asymmetry. The buyer knows something the seller doesn't know. The seller withholds something that the buyer should know. The agent knows something. And, you know, it's this which makes this industry so ripe for disruption. And there's also this rush to deploy a lot of capital. There's been a lot of capital sitting on the sidelines that didn't get deployed in 2020, a lot of dry powder now that's itching to invest in 2021. But that much, you know, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars of dry powder in being invested, needs to be invested in a disciplined way. And that's a foundational problem. I've experienced it. I talk to real estate, private equity funds every day. And it's surprising how people do run their operations, how things are run on spreadsheets today. So I can definitely see that. I'm sure everyone else can too. So, Bar, what do you think about the whole blockchain concept? How has that been received when you initially pitched the vision for using blockchain, especially as you're dealing with an end user who is not very sophisticated? Your average real estate institutional investor or real estate private investor doesn't really use technology that much, at least in comparison to other industries. So were you pitching the concept of blockchain? How was that received? And let's talk a bit about blockchain itself as well.
Yeah, so, you know, when we originally started, I think blockchain did a great favor for us. We were we had a lot of knowledge about the space. We were both me and my partner. We've been dealing we've been researching in this space for many years now. And so being kind of like an expert in a field that has started to add a great momentum, I think this is what really helped us to also raise our first, you know, fundraising, especially as a first-time entrepreneur, young, and with not too much of a professional background. And afterwards, you know, after a couple of months, you definitely saw, like, we definitely experienced the different kind of like momentum when the entire industry shaped, and then using the term blockchain was kind of like a big no-no. You just said blockchain, the conversation ended up, people didn't really care about listening to what you're offering.
By the way, why was that?
I think it's pretty simple, the question, the answer. I think too many people have raised too much money using maybe stupid ICOs, only based on white papers and ideas without any, you know, execution / proof of concept. And I think this really created kind of like an atmosphere where every people that is using the idea of this concept, blockchain, got mixed up with Bitcoin, got mixed up with cryptocurrencies, got mixed up with all these different, you know, bubble that we had.
Yeah, it's a lack of understanding of what this exactly means, not unpacking this major trend. Yeah. What blockchain offers as a value proposition is completely different to what crypto or even Bitcoin offers as an investment asset, which is what I would say, you know, Bitcoin really offers today. It's an investment asset primarily, and that's what drives its price. Whereas using blockchain is a foundational disruptive technology. Now, who was shutting you down? Was it investors or was it customers or was it both?
Everyone. It was insane. Everyone, investors, customers, everyone. And we were one of the first companies in Israel back in the days to do what's called, back then, it called an STO, security token offering. And we took an hotel in Eastern Europe, owned by my father company and managed by Radisson Park Inn. And we've created some sort of a small loan, and we tokenized this loan. So this was a really nice experience, by the way. But yeah, back to your question. Everyone that heard the name, the term blockchain, and just got took a step back.
Now hold on. Now, if you're one of the first, and you were successful at doing your tokenized offering, when you were pitching the concept for Agora, was it because you were the first or you were the last and people had been sick of it and they'd already lost money?
We were one of the first in Israel. This is why we've managed to raise capital for our company back then. But by the time that we've developed the POC and that we've executed on this security token offering, from the time that we've raised the money and by the time that we've created it, this was exactly the time that the momentum of the industry shift to a different direction. And also we've also realized that using blockchain, unfortunately, didn't really solve the issues that we had to deal with. And because, you know, blockchain as a technology is amazing, and I'm a big believer in the future of it. But I also understand that there are a number of things that have to happen. People need to be more, to have a better understanding. The infrastructure need to be more supportive. The regulation need to be more supportive. And technology is not the solution. Technology is just the one of the means. You know, and saying that I use blockchain, it's maybe it's nice, you know, thing, but I also use React and Node.js, you know, so... So these are how we view things.
It reminds me of when VR was taking off, and there were so many companies pitching, you know, we're doing something medical for VR, or we're doing something, you know, in education for VR, or you insert an industry and put VR on it and you'd raise funding quickly.
Yeah.
Specialist VC funds that got destroyed in their returns. And VR just didn't take off. And, you know, it wasn't more of a regulation issue. It was more of a distribution issue, a price point issue. And that VR has great use cases for certain verticals, but it's not a panacea. It's not you insert the word VR and suddenly, you know, it's gold dust. This reminds you, people who are listening to this who were around in the dot-com era, you know, people would add a .com to their IPO name or prospectus, and valuations would climb. So I think at the beginning that was happening with blockchain too. Everyone's clamoring to get in, and there's all this fuzziness. And with all this fuzziness, you can't separate what's real and isn't real. And when the dust settles, something like a diamond does emerge, but you've got to get through a lot of dirt before you find that.